We need to recognize that when we were saved, we are thus the light of the world. We are the manifestation of the life and truth of Christ in a dark world. Secondly, we need to realize that we've been placed in the midst of the dark world so that we would shine. Don't let sin and selfishness cover up His light in you.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a note from Sarah in Arizona. She writes, "Our hearts are filled with gratitude for the legacy of your ministry. Your ministries touch countless lives, and the depth of your knowledge is akin to attending a spiritual university. We lift you up in prayer, asking that the Lord God, Christ Jesus, continue to strengthen you, knowing that the seeds sown by you bear eternal fruit. As you carry forth your ministry, may souls be saved, lives be transformed, hope ignited, in the precious name of Jesus, Sarah." Well, Sarah, thank you so much. And that is our prayer, too, that souls are saved and lives are transformed and hope is ignited, all in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your encouraging words. What a blessing it is to hear them and to know that you're praying for us. And thank you to all our other listeners who are praying for this ministry. We just praise our Lord for you. So again, thank you, Sarah.
And Greg, for the past couple of broadcasts, we've been considering what Scripture has to say about true believers being the light of the world. And today you'll wrap that up with some very practical ways that we can and that we should be the world's light.
You know, Dave, today we're going to see, practically speaking, how it is we consistently and effectively shine His light to a lost and dying world. Our passage today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
He is light, and in Him there's no darkness. He's completely righteous, holy, and there's no sin or evil in Him. Mankind is in sin and in darkness, but Jesus came. He was the light of the world. And when we place our faith in Him, we are delivered from darkness to light. We are delivered from the wrath of God, which will come upon those who walk in darkness, and that should motivate us to godly living. So back in our passage, comes back full circle, verse 14, you are the light of the world. So then, the question would be, are we manifesting His light? From the context so far, that manifestation is good deeds in the context of righteousness, abiding in Christ, right? Let's not forget, when the life of Christ is manifest in us, so too the Word of God will be coming forth too. 1 Peter 2, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Gil Rohr writes, I like his teaching, if an unbeliever comes in contact with you, he ought to see your life as a reflection of the character of God. He ought to hear from your lips the truth concerning God. God saved you in order to proclaim His excellencies. What a tragedy that some unbelievers have repeated contact with Christians, yet they never hear from them the marvelous excellencies of the One who called them out of darkness into light. We ought to be proclaiming the truth of salvation. And I know, like, for instance, for Hillary, what praise here in the classroom as a substitute, she's able to share the truth of God. Well, God's Word says this, kids. You need to do this, right? Share the Word of God, right? That's light, right, in the context of darkness. You are the world's light. Now, what does that term world mean? Well, we kind of already know this, don't we? We are the light of the world, and obviously the world is in darkness. If you're the light there, the world is dark, right? You are the light of the world. They are in darkness, okay? And so therefore, it's speaking of unbelieving mankind. And our light is to shine, later on we'll see, before men. It's speaking of unbelieving mankind. So the world is those apart from Christ who walk in darkness. They're still in their sins. There's no righteousness in them. There is no light. The term world in Scripture is used consistently to identify those who do not know God, who live by their own standards set within their own lusts and desires. The world consists of the unregenerate, the unredeemed, those who are not born again, those who are not saved, those who function based on their own wisdom, lust, and desires, and not the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. The world consists of those who are in their sins, the unrighteous, those in darkness who walk in darkness. And by virtue of what God has said through our relationship with Him now, He's declaring who we are. We are the world's light exclusively. You are the exclusive light to the world. You are the light of the world exclusively. We are the visible manifestation of Christ in the world. Just with the analogy of salt, we need to not miss this point. He doesn't say you're becoming light. He doesn't say pray that you might be light. I said pray that we'll be light in the world. What he's saying, you are the light of the world. Pray that you don't cover it. That's what you need to say. Pray. Pray from the opposite direction. We pray like, I want to be light. Well, no. Pray we don't cover the light with our sin. Pray that we don't go that way, right? You are the light of the world. You are the world's light. So how are we to behave in the midst of an ungodly world? First of all, we need to recognize we are the light of the world. We are the only manifestation of the righteousness and truth of Christ in the midst of an ungodly world. We are the light of the world. And then we need to recognize our purpose. Back to our passage. You are the light of the world. And then notice what he says. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives its light to all who are in the house. Simple illustration followed by another illustration, which I believe will drive home two important points, that we are light in the world in position and purpose. Our position and also our purpose, okay? Notice the first illustration. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's a pretty simple illustration. In the day Jesus shared these truths, many cities were upon hills. And if you were walking towards a city at night, you would see the light on the hill. It can't be hidden. It's right there. You can't miss it. He says here in the illustration, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden. It's on a hill. Now the grammar speaks of being incapable of being hidden. It's not able to be hidden. So what's the point? I believe he's speaking of location. By virtue of us being in the world, we can't be hidden. We can't be hidden. We're in the world. You cannot be hidden in the world. Now, the light can be covered, but you can't be hidden. When God saved us, he did not remove us from this dark world, but he left us here for a time as sojourners on our way to glory. And by virtue of being in the midst of a dark world, we cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, or literally concealed. Some might say, well, wait a second, can't believers hide? What about those undercover Christians, right? Well, the reality is those who no one knows are Christians are maybe not Christians at all. If you're the light of the world, the light's going to come forth, right? Or you're in sin and you're covering it, right? And you're going to be good for nothing. The whole reason God left you behind to serve him and to manifest his character, you're not doing. What a waste. The point he's making here is that we cannot be hidden if we're true believers. If we are the blessed, when you read through those Beatitudes, we're going to be seen. It's a simple fact. Cities set on a hill cannot be hidden. And later on, we're going to see that we do shine, and certainly we can affect the way that light shines by covering it or not, right? 1 John chapter 2 talks about, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father but from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Saying, hey, if you're not shining, maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you never came light. Maybe you're still in darkness. So first of all, he's saying location. You can't be concealed. Now, Jesus is not saying we are to be like the world. Don't mistake this. Don't let bad guys twist this, that you got to be like the world to win the world. Don't let them twist that. Remember, it's light, not darkness. You don't become darkness to win a dark world. They're not going to see anything. They're going to see themselves, right? It's light in the world, right? We are light of the world. God has placed us so that we are unmistakable. When you get saved in your family and other people aren't saved, it's obvious you're the light of the world. You can't be moved out of the way, you know? You are there lit in that place. We're not to hide from associations from the world either. We're not yoke with them. We're not to hide from them. We're in the world. I mean, that term, it's not from Scripture, but in the world, but not of it, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul had to correct his statements because they're being misunderstood. He shared with them, and basically they thought that they were not to associate with immoral people. They took it wrongly. 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not mean with the immoral people of the world, or with the covetous and swindlers and idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. He's going to explain, I wrote you not social for moral people, not the people in the church who are being immoral. Notice what he says. But actually, I wrote you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person, covetous, idolater, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from your midst. He's saying, hey, you misunderstood what I said. You can associate with the world because you have to. You're in the world. Unless you're going to be a monk, right? And then they just take their sinfulness to those dark places. We also see that we are not to be bound with them, right? We do associate with the world. We are in the world. We go to places that are dark, not saying in terms of sinning, but we go to a store where the people don't know the Lord and it's dark. We go certain places. People don't know Christ. We go get a burger, whatever it is. They don't know Christ. We're going in the world. We're associating, right? But we're not bounding together, right? Later on, he'll tell the Corinthians, do not be bound together or yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and laws, and what fellowship have light and darkness. We don't partner, we don't have fellowship with the world, but we are in the world, and he says, you'd have to go out of it if you're associated with it. And you be careful that we don't shelter ourselves in an ungodly, self-righteous, judgmental fashion, and remove ourselves from the very world which the Lord says we're to live in. I'm not talking about sinning. You need to go to places to do things, right? We're in this world, right? Sometimes I get concerned when people say, now, if it's out of conscience, that's a different thing. They say, I don't want to buy stuff here because this is a worldly place. They're all worldly. You're a light. Be a godly light in that worldly place. Now, if your conscience is telling you not to do that, that's fine. Don't break your conscience. But Paul said, we are still to associate with the immoral people of this world. Otherwise, we would be taken out of it. Brothers and sisters, if you are shining, you cannot be hidden. If you're not shining, something's going on here. So first of all, placement in the world. And then notice the purpose in the last portion here. Verse 15. Nor do men, an illustration, light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives its light to all who are in the house. Now, I remember this verse from when I was a kid. Peck measure? What's a peck measure? Never heard of that. No one's ever come to me and said, grab that peck measure. Well, it was a bowl about 2 gallons that they used to measure things, measure the quantity, right? It's a large bowl, about 2 gallons, big, big bowl, okay? The simple point is lamps are not lit to be hidden, they're lit to shine. Nobody turns on a light and then covers it up. It's contrary to its nature. No one turns on the lights and then goes and puts tape over and covers all the lights up, right? No one does that. It's contrary to its purpose. Its purpose is to shine. You are the light of the world. Your purpose is to shine the character of Christ as God takes you throughout this world. To obey him, to obey his word, to abide in him, to allow his word to dwell richly so that you're responding rightly in the midst of a dark world. We see this in the book of Proverbs, how to navigate this sinful world, right? In the context of evil and wickedness, we are the light of the world. And if you're a true believer in Christ, the life of Christ being manifest in you in word and deed is not coming forth from you, it's coming forth from him. But if that's not happening, you are not fulfilling your purpose. And thus think about the illustration of salt and become worthless, good for nothing. God's saying that, you're good for nothing. Would you like God to say you're good for nothing? Want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not good for nothing. That your lamp was covered with sin and you never brought about what I intended you to do. So are you trusting and abiding in Christ at your work, or are you reacting like a worldly person, putting the lamp out? Are you trusting him in your relationship? Are you trusting him in the line at the drive-thru? Are you getting mad? Let God help you. We all fail. We all mess up. But we are the light of the world, right? And then notice what he says. There's a purpose in how we shine here. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now we have a command here from the Lord Jesus to his true flock, those who are blessed, those who are saved. Listen up. He says, let your light shine. Do not inhibit it. Do not block it. Do not hide it. And how is as able to shine here? Well, some might take the phrase in such a way makes it kind of sound like I determine how it shines. I don't like this translation. I like the NASB. That's my favorite translation, but here I don't think they get it right. Literally, the word is hutos, and that in a such a way should actually be in the beginning of the verse, not in the middle. You could translate it this way. The word means in this manner or in this way or thus or so. That's what hutos means. So you could say it this way. Thus or in this way, let your light shine. And what did he just say? Don't let it be covered up. Let it shine in the way that it's supposed to shine. That's what he's talking about. Thus or so, in this way, what he just spoke about, let your light shine before men. Thus, in this way, not hidden, but open for all. I'm not a fan of the NIV, but I think they translate it really well here. In the same way, let your light shine before men. That's it. They nailed it. In the same way. The same way as not covering up a lamp. That's the illustration. In the same way as the illustration, let it shine open unhindered. Do not hide it. Do not allow it to be covered. Start being more sin sensitive and confessing it. Stop letting your sinful attitudes cover his character from coming out of you, right? Abide in Jesus Christ. Confess your sin. Walk with him. Let your light shine. And notice the purpose. That they may see. They, that's the world, those in darkness. Which means they can actually see. They can see things that God is doing. That they may see your good works. And glorify your Father. It's not their Father yet. But your Father who is in heaven. Well, it's a twofold purpose here. That they may see your good works, first of all. The term good here in Scripture, there's two different words for good translated in Greek, agathon and kalos. They both speak of what is intrinsically or morally good. But the word kalos adds the idea of outward beauty. Let them see that beautiful righteousness. He is righteous, which is beautiful. It's beautiful to not snap back. It's beautiful to forgive. It's beautiful to be kind. It's beautiful to be not argumentative. It's beautiful. His character is beautiful. It's beautiful when someone does their work unto the Lord and not unto men. It's beautiful. It's good works. We see that. That they might see it. Now remember, the only true good comes from God, right? It's only when we abide in him. Those good works which are wrought in God. John chapter 3. Indeed, we were created for good works, that we might walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2. We're his workmanship. The word actually means poem, actually. We're his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk them. We know that the Scripture prepares us for the good works. You know, we recognize all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Righteousness, right? Rightness, shining stuff. That the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. God's word equips you for every circumstance to do what is good, that which the world cannot not see. It's lighted right before them. They're going to see it. And if we're abiding in Christ, you cannot be hidden. It's going to come forth. We were saved and purified and possessed by the Lord to be zealous for good deeds. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, that's sin, and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. When we renew our minds with the word of God rather than being conformed with the world, we will prove what God's will is. Romans chapter 12. The only good works are those that God does through us because God is good. Don't try to be good. You won't be able to. In the context of abiding in Jesus, believing his word, having it dwell richly, obey the Lord. With the renewed mind, step out and do what he says by his power. Brothers and sisters, the righteousness of Christ manifest in our life is beautiful. And his word from our lips is beautiful. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Let the life of Christ be manifest. Stop inhibiting it or hiding it with your own selfishness or sin. Stop hiding it. Let me give you an example from Scripture. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Or another translation, without complaining or arguing. Everything without complaining or arguing. Okay? That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation among whom you appear as what? When you are not complaining like everyone else, there's a big light in their midst. Now, they may not like it, and they're going to persecute you because of it. But one day they might glorify God who is in heaven because he convicted them about their sin and they got saved by Jesus. And I believe that conviction that we're going to see here, that they glorify him, comes in two different ways. One, in judgment. They're going to bow down and glorify God because of the deeds of those, or as the Lord visits them in the context of salvation. And we see that in 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. This is letting it light. Don't cover the light. So that if they think they slander you as evildoers, that mighty tooty shoes who, you know, they slander you, right? You know, always kissing up to the boss. Well, you're not kissing the boss. You're just doing a good job, right? Okay. That they may account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation, the day he visits them. Could be judgment, could be salvation. You're going to glorify God because God was working through the light of his character in you in a dark world. Walk as children of light, right? Let it shine. Let your light shine before men in that way. Don't hide it. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The term glorify, doxazo, means where we get our word doxology. It speaks of giving high status and praise. You're going to glorify God because of what he did through you. That they may see your good works. Believe me, they'll see your bad stuff. They're easy to point that out quickly, right? But they see your good works. Well, it's so simple. God has placed us in the midst of an unbelieving world. Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God is still redeeming people, and he wants to use us to manifest his character that people might glorify him. Do you realize that when you're out in the world? Realize that? We need to be reminded. So how are we to be in the midst of an ungodly world? Well, I just answered that, but let me summarize. First, we need to recognize when we were saved, we are thus the light of the world. We are the manifestation of the life and truth of Christ in a dark world. Secondly, we need to realize that we've been placed in the midst of the dark world so that we would shine. Don't let sin and selfishness cover up his light in you. So let me ask you this. Are you shining? Some of you don't know Christ, and you cannot shine. But God has placed believers around you, and you've seen the light of his righteousness, and you've heard his truths. Turn to Jesus Christ. You need a Savior. Believe in him, and you will be saved. What about as believers? Simple question. Are we shining? Shining at work, shining at home, shining in our errands, shining with our neighbors, shining in front of our children, or the light of the world? Now, if we realize we fail, and we do, confess. And then be determined to allow his light to be manifest. But he who practices the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be manifest, having been wrought in the dark.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the few moments that we have left in today's broadcast, how can we know if we're really shining his light to the world and not our own?
You know, Dave, one way to look at this is who is getting the glory? When you live your life, when you give and serve and share, who gets the glory? And who do you give the glory to? Is it you or is it Christ? Simply put, if what you strive to accomplish is getting the praise of men, either self or others, whether it's doing good or godly things, then you are not shining his light, and you're at best a hypocrite pretending to be godly, and at worst, using the Lord's name and reputation to build your own kingdom. And that's a serious offense. So are you shining? Are you shining the life of Christ to those you come in contact with in your daily relationships? Are you shining it on those who are lost without him?
Are you shining it in such a way that He alone gets the glory? I pray that you are, and I pray that you boldly and consistently, as you depend upon Him, shine forth His light, because you are the light of the world.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.